And a good afternoon to you. I'm Al Cresta. You know, with our country now preoccupied with questions of appropriate relationships between men and women, and questions and accusations of sexual harassment, sexual misconduct, sexual assault, date rape, violent rape, and all manner of inappropriate relationship between male and female, we wanted to make sure that we were hearing from women who had firsthand experience in this area. And in our looking around, we came across Jolene Underwood. She's a writer, a blogger, a coach, an emotional health warrior. And as a result of living through various trials, she writes from a place of compassion for wounded believers. She draws upon her own personal journey towards emotional health, her psychology background, and a passion for Christian counseling to help others, you know, cultivate a life well lived and a soul well nourished. Jolene, good to make your acquaintance.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I wanted to just ask you, jump right into it. Could you describe the circumstances that led up to being raped that night?
Sure. I was fairly new to Texas. I had moved from Minnesota for a guy that I had been dating, and we had broken up. And so I met a guy at work, and he seemed nice, and it was just kind of nice to be treated well. Mm-hmm. And we'd gone out once, and he'd invited me to his house to watch the Winter Olympics. And I already had a son at that point, and I was concerned about his bedtime and staying up too late. And he said, oh, don't worry, just bring him over, you know, we'll just let him sleep here. And I knew I had something kind of unsettled inside of me right away and thought, you know, I need to make sure that I tell him. It's really hard for me to be upfront and just tell somebody this, but I need you to know that we're not going to have sex. And so I told him. And he said,
you said that
okay.
Right up front. I mean, is that because when he invited your son to spend the night, you might have thought that underneath he was hoping you would spend the night?
Yeah, I just had kind of a little bit of an unease and just wasn't sure. And I felt this nudge, like I needed to make sure that I let him know up front.
Sure.
I knew it was going to be hard, but I said it.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, so I let him know. He said it was going to be okay. And so I went over to his house, and we were watching shows, and he kind of kept persisting, and things started progressing. And I would stop him periodically when things got more uncomfortable and let him know, remember, I don't want to do this. I don't want to have sex, and I don't want it to go farther. And he would immediately just kind of try to reassure me that everything was okay. He would never do anything that I didn't want. He wouldn't hurt me. And
so what's the...
Kept going.
Yeah. So while he's kind of pushing forward here and then backing away and then pushing forward, what's going through, what's the inner dialogue going on in your head? What are you saying to yourself?
Good question. Yeah. You know, I was scared. I really wanted to believe him, but honestly, a part of me that I've actually had to wrestle with God and learn and grow in is that I was too worried about making him upset.
Yeah.
About hurting his feelings. And so I didn't want to get any more forceful than I was. And so I'm kind of going back and forth with feeling for him that he might be hurt if I actually said no louder than I did or with more emphasis than I did.
So you were a little reticent in terms of being, you weren't forceful enough, maybe. Is that the word?
Yeah. You know, when I look back at it now, I knew that I kind of struggled with, I knew that I said no, and I struggled with saying it more forcefully. But for me at that time, it was even more than I was used to. I just really struggled with confrontation.
Yeah.
And I can look back at it and say, you know, he still did not honor what I requested,
right.
But there's still a part of me that can grow and learn and say, how can I recognize this sooner in the situation and make it clear, and how can I handle the discomfort myself of somebody else hearing no when I need to say no.
Now, during that night, did you sense fairly early on that even though he was saying, no problem, I won't do anything you don't want to do, yet he keeps coming back and keeps pushing forward. Uh-huh. Does there come a time in your awareness that he's becoming no longer just an annoyance that you have to, like, you have to keep swatting him away, but uh-huh. where he becomes a real threat?
I got to a point in this this particular situation. I was trying to get up the nerve to leave, yeah. to wake up my son and leave. Okay. And so I went to go do that, and he followed me. And I kind of just lost the nerve with the charm. And so I just said, you know what? I kind of gave up in my mind is what happened.
Okay.
And I said, I couldn't deal with the confrontation anymore.
Okay. So it was, let's get this over with.
Yeah.
So, and so next, you're very self-conscious of what's going on here. You said no multiple times. He didn't respect your mm-hmm. wishes. And the next day, though, you keep questioning yourself mm-hmm. and had to remind yourself that you had said no. Can you describe that to me? What? Why?
Well, I think that because I got to that place of acquiescence and just saying, let's get it done with.
Yeah.
And that part of it was a choice on my side. But even in that choice, it was, you know, such a challenging circumstance. He still didn't respect my no.
Right.
And so I think I was wrestling with how much was my responsibility and how much was his.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of women wrestle with that in those types of situations. I hear that from other women, you know.
Yeah.
And I had to get to a place where I kept reminding myself, no, he said no, it's not okay what he did.
Right.
That doesn't mean that I can't keep growing and learning.
Right.
What he did isn't okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, clearly he pushed, he violated the norm that you had set. And he simply didn't believe you when you said no. I think, in fact, in your recounting of this, you might have said, you know, I said no, and what he said was no problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, were you were a Christian at the time?
Yes.
Okay. What did you, I mean, these are really messy circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So, as a believer, how were you understanding God's providential oversight of your life? How does this fit into your story at that point? I know now you're more mature and you're thinking through things, but at that time, how did you understand God's guidance and leading in all this?
Well, I think I had grown up with just a desire to serve God, to honor God for, you know, quite a long time before that too, but I had a lot of fears. And when I came to this moment and I found out that I was pregnant shortly afterwards, it was a situation that I had previously kind of made decisions on in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up very pro-life, helping my parents to set up, you know, pro-life displays at the county fairs and that kind of thing. And I remember people would always ask the question, if you were raped, would you keep the baby?
Yeah.
And so in my mind, I even had a sense, I think that night, what if I got pregnant out of this? And so immediately afterward, my thought process was a lot of pleading from God.
Yeah.
Probably, I know that I've wondered a lot of, you know, where he was in protecting me. Would you please not let this be the case that I get pregnant? Because that would be so challenging. So questioning, wondering from God, but knowing that I needed to keep praying. But I also cried a lot and asked God a lot of questions.
So you thought pregnancy was a real possibility then after this rape?
Yeah, I think I'd always been kind of, I wanted to be a virgin when I got married.
Sure.
And I'd already been date raped, and that's how I lost my virginity, and then other situations. And so I've always also had kind of this awareness that in addition to it being the God-honoring choice, I didn't want the repercussions of those actions either, which means having a child on your own, and I already did. And so it was just kind of hyper aware to it, I think.
Yeah. Did you did you decide not to abort? Was abortion ever really a personal option for you? I know that you had friends who suggested it, but how plausible was abortion to you?
You know, it wasn't for me. I know that it is for a lot of people. There were thoughts of, man, this would be easier in the up, you know, immediately. It seems like that's the quick thing, of course. Yeah. And so I had to face those things, but it was already so seated within me that it wasn't an option. So for me, it was more of an option of, do I choose adoption or do I go with a second child?
Let me back up just one step here. Did it ever occur to you to press charges against this guy?
Actually, yes. I got so kind of just stuck in this mode of, this is wrong, this is wrong. I don't know what needs to happen, but this is wrong. Something should happen. Mm-hmm. And so I had some friends at work, and I asked one of them to accompany me downtown to the police station. And so I did go, very, very scared, and I met with an investigator there, and it was a woman with a very forceful personality, and I just did not feel comfortable. And she was really stating the truth, which was, it'd be very hard to press charges. And she asked what I wanted, and I said, I don't know. I just know it's wrong. And that's as far as I got. I left.
Yeah. Okay. So it didn't look as though this was going to work as a, you weren't going to be able to make the case that this was a criminal act.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's, again, you weren't really considering abortion, but the question was whether you would release the child for adoption or, have a second child. And in the your first child, the father had abandoned you, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yeah, and in this case, you wanted the guy to stay away. So the question would be, when you're thinking about raising the child, I mean, children, we're all created to image God.
Yes.
In this case, is the child going to end up imaging the rapist to you? When you look in his face, are you going to think rapist?
You know, that was the exact thoughts that I had that I wrestled with for a while.
Jolene, why don't you hold it there for a second? We'll pick that question up again. The music just came off. I've got to take a break. We'll come back, though, and pick up right from that very point. My guest, Jolene Underwood, a writer and blogger, talking about her experience of rape, acquaintance rape, date rape. And we'll be back to continue the conversation. Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. With me, Jolene Underwood. Jolene is a writer, a blogger. She is works with people to help move them towards emotional health. She writes from the place of compassion for wounded believers. We're talking about her experience of acquaintance rape, date rape. She was became pregnant as a result of that rape. And I was, before the break, I was pointing out that this becomes a very messy situation. I mean, she's a believer in God, and she writes, in fact, God was allowing another child into this world through me by that guy. And so, I mean, here you have words that get all kinds of muddy. I mean, you got a good God who permits this evil to happen. You have a child who's supposed to image God, but whose face might image the rapist to you. And you don't even want to mention this guy by name. He's this guy. He's kind of been reduced himself to an object in this whole story. How did that affect your, especially, would the child remind you, when you look in the face of your child, are you looking into the face of the rapist?
That's a really good question, because it's what I wrestled with, I think, the most when I considered adoption, was the likelihood that, especially if I had a son, which I did, would I be reminded of the rapist and of this incident? And just in crying and praying and asking that over and over again, I was just you know, doing something in my room, and I felt the nudge of the Spirit. And what I sensed God saying to me was, I took care of you with your first child. I'm going to take care of you with this one.
Hmm.
And at that point, I felt resolved.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're moving forward.
Yeah. See, this is really vital, it seems to me, because you are pleading with God through this, and you're mm-hmm. appealing to Him, you're calling on Him, and He did hear you, and He actually responded in a way that you recognized.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, I think that response, after that, I don't think I was even really concerned anymore about whether my child would remind me of Him.
Yeah.
Once he was born, it never became an issue. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking a couple times, oh, yeah, I was worried about this. And then there was nothing.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. That is good. That is good news. By the way, did you end up telling this guy that you were pregnant?
Yeah, I did. He said we'd figure what to do with the child.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And I said, no, we won't. And just so you know, I'm not having an abortion.
Yeah. How did you break the news to your mom and dad?
I think I had a sister tell my parents. They'd already kind of been through a lot with me when I got pregnant previously from somebody that I thought I'd stay with forever. And I wasn't close to any family at the time. I was out of state from everybody. And I had a sister that I felt more comfortable sharing with first and asked her to break the news. Mm-hmm. And they were, you know, very kind and wrestling with their own feelings of, you know, anger towards the situation, towards him. And, I had my sister help me out.
Okay. No, that makes sense. In the long run, were they supportive of you?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay. So
that was good.
Very
helpful for me.
Very good. Are they believers as well?
Yes, okay. They are.
So that certainly helps.
You
write sometime after the birth of your second son that you continue to struggle in many areas, and you write, my whole life I had tried hard to do the right thing, to be the good girl. Mm-hmm. Now here I was, mm-hmm. a single mom of two boys from two different dads, deeply in debt, and so terribly alone. With mounting mm-hmm. pressures, I kicked and screamed with angry fists at God, quite literally. How long after the birth of your second son had you kind of reached that place of complete anger and fury?
It was probably about somewhere between 4 and 6 months after my son was born. Mm-hmm. I was dealing with my other son's father was fighting an increase in child support. And so he had sent a letter to the courts that had a lot of lies in it. And everything just kind of felt like it was caving in. And I had so much debt. And like I said, I'd moved away from all family. And so I barely knew anybody at the church I was attending. And I think at that point I'd finally gotten a full-time position at work, but feeling so alone and then I got to a place where I didn't feel like I even wanted God, but I wanted to want God.
Yeah. Okay.
And I knew that anger was there, and I literally was kicking and screaming in bed. And I remembered this, somebody had written what they called a love letter from God. And it was talking about, you know, God's pursuit of us to be completely and wholly satisfied in Him and surrendering to Him. And that letter that my sister had really tugged at my heart. And so I cried that night and I just said, I don't know that I even want you, but help me to want you.
Like yes,
that
yes.
tiny step, whatever I could possibly give. And it was a small step of surrender that night that God used in a powerful way. It just snowballed from there.
Nice. So that got things rolling again.
Mm-hmm.
How did you see this whole struggle shaping you and maturing you? Did you see it as having an end or a purpose, an aim?
You know, I think a lot of the challenges that, you know, between the date rape and getting pregnant and getting pregnant before and, you know, challenges that we all face continually. It's just, there's so many opportunities to decide, am I going to trust God? Mm-hmm. Am I going to surrender what I think needs to happen in this situation or the way that I think God should have had this happen in a different way?
Yeah.
He should have protected me in a different way, or he should have provided this thing because he knows that I need it. And so in that journey and continuing, that's just a continual opportunity to be shaped and say, okay, I'm still choosing you, even though I'm hurting, yet I choose to hope in you. Like David says in Psalm 42, he cries out, he reminds his soul, he's crying out, yet at the end of the verse, the chapter, he says, yet I choose to put my hope in you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good. Looking back on your experience and mm-hmm. being where we are in our American culture today with all the discussions about men taking advantage of women and mm-hmm. the whole confusion, there's so many aspects of this which are ugly and messy and yet at the same time instructive. What would you advise young women?
Like you said, there's so many different circumstances and situations and ways that these situations happen. But what I would say to women is to consider today and every day the value of who you are in Christ and the value of who God is. One of my passions is to continually hold this tension of how valuable we are, yet we're sinners, mm-hmm. and we need God so much. And when women are seeking God and letting him speak to their hearts and surrendering themselves in the sense of just what their belief systems might be, you know, so for example, in my situation, I didn't believe that I was worthy enough to speak up, that it was okay to say no and let someone get angry with me.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've grown, I'm able to be in situations now where I can say, no, that's not okay. So as women, as we draw near to God and we're seeking to hear from him and understanding our value, I think that that equips women to recognize the signs more easily and to be able to confront things that need to be confronted. Because sometimes those situations, you know, there's so many dynamics and there's pressure from all kinds of sides and you may not have the support you need right away.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to come down to hearing from God, and those core beliefs that we have about who God is are going to be tested.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you, did anybody say that they thought that you put yourself in harm's way and that this was your fault?
Fortunately, I don't think anybody had said that specifically to me. I think it was, but there was more of that general narrative that I've heard other people hearing that from others or the enemy trying to speak that. And so that's where I had to wrestle with.
Yeah. Nice girls don't get raped. Smart girls don't get raped. That kind of thing.
Yeah. And that's really frustrating because I just, I have compassion for that, like that place that I was in where fear takes over, and mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that, you know, you can't learn afterwards, but in that moment, you do what you can do with what you have,
mm-hmm.
and that doesn't mean that it's your fault.
Right, right. You know, we're beginning Advent right now, and we remember another mother with an unplanned pregnancy that brought shame to her in her own society and culture. Mm-hmm. Do you derive any consolation in reflecting on Mary's experience?
Yeah, I do. I think it was a Christmas song, Mary, Did You Know?
Yeah.
I would kind of tug at my heart when my boys were little, just the thought of her fears that she must have had, how alone did she feel, did she have support from others around her? You know, we know that she visited her cousin and all these, the things that we know from scripture, but mm-hmm. just the unspoken things in her emotions and how she had to trust during that time.
Mm-hmm.
That ministers to my heart too.
Yeah, great. Now, tell people how they can stay in touch with you and follow the work that you're doing.
Oh, that'd be great. They can. My website is my name, which is Jolene, Jolene Underwood.com, And on social media, in most places, I'm at the Jolene U.
Okay, at Jolene U.
The Jolene U.
The Jolene.
The other one was taken.
Very good. Okay. Well, thank you. That's JoleneUnderwood.com, and then at the Jolene U.
Is it, yes.
Get that right? Okay.
Yes,
Jolene,
sir.
Thanks for joining me today. That's very, very helpful. And I assume boys are doing fine?
Yes, they're doing great. And actually, now I'm a grandma.
Oh, good heavens.
Yes, I know. It's wonderful.
Well, congratulations. And thank you again.
Thank you.
Jolene Underwood, again, there's an article we came across called I Said No, He Said No Problem, A Story of Date Rape. And as I read it, I thought, this is so similar to what I have heard from young women over the years that I thought this is a perfect time to share this story with you. And again, even in the midst of this, God is sovereign, He is alive, and He's healing. I'm Al Cresta.